Cassette number 22, side 1, a treatise on cosmic fire, continuing section 2, division D, thought and fire elementals, on page 914. There is another group of devas about which much may not as yet be communicated. They have come in from another planetary scheme and are specialists in their particular line. They have attained or passed through the human kingdom and are of equal rank with certain members of the hierarchy, having chosen to stay and work in connection with the physical plane evolution. They are not many in number, being only 12. 4 work in the violet group, 5 in the green group, and 2 in the white, with a presiding officer of rank equal to a Chohan. The number of the Deva evolution is 6, as that of man is now 5, and as 10 stands for perfected man, so 12 stands for perfection in the Deva kingdom. This group presides over the 3 earlier enumerated. Certain subsidiary groups are found. Under group 1 are found all the elementals working with the etheric doubles of men, all the elementals forming the etheric bodies wherein is life, and all the elementals working with the etheric counterparts of so-called inanimate objects. These are named in the order and the importance of their development. The violet devas are on the evolutionary path. The elementals are on the involutionary path, the goal for them being to pass into the deva kingdom of violet hue. Under group 2 work the fairies of plant life, the elves who build and paint the flowers, the radiant little beings who inhabit the woods and the fields, the elementals who work with the fruits, vegetables, and with all that leads to the covering of the earth's surface with verdure. Associated with them are the lesser devas of magnetization, those attached to sacred spots, to talismans, and to stones, and also a special group to be found around the habitations of the masters wherever situated. Page 915. Under group 3 work the elementals of the air and the sea, the sylphs, the water fairies, and the devas who guard each human being. Here only general hints are given. This list is not complete and does not include the grosser elementals, the brownies, and those that inhabit the dark spaces of the earth, the cities, and the subterranean spots of the earth's crust. The devas of the ethers carry on their foreheads a translucent symbol in the form of a crescent moon, and by this they may be distinguished from the astral devas by those able to see clairvoyantly. As we consider the devas of the ethers, we find that they fall naturally, as far as manifestation is concerned, into 2 main groups. Each group is represented on each of the 4 subplanes, and this grouping must be considered as but one method of differentiation out of the many possible. These groups are, first, those devas who are the transmitters of prana to all forms of life. They are a group of intermediary devas and may be regarded as the energy providers in their various differentiations. Secondly, those devas who form the etheric bodies of every form in manifestation. These constitute the bulk of the lesser devas. There are naturally many other organized intelligences in the great army of the voice in connection with this primary division of the physical plane, but if the student will consider these 2 groups and will investigate their relationship to man and to the heavenly man within whose body they are to be found, he will learn much which will enable him to comprehend problems hitherto considered insoluble, and will find many things revealed which will tend to revolutionize the findings of modern science and bring about changes in the care of the physical body. Page 916. The devas and energy. Before we take up the consideration of these 2 groups, it might be wise here to emphasize the necessity of remembering that when we consider the etheric levels of the physical plane, we are dealing with those planes upon which the true form is to be found, and are approaching the solution of the mystery of the Holy Spirit and the Mother. In this realization, and its extension to include an entire solar system, will come a clarifying of the connection between the 4 higher planes of the system and the 3 worlds of human endeavor. We have, in the macrocosm, the 4 planes of superconscious life, or those 4 central vibrations which are the basis of the life and energy of the etheric body of a planetary logos and of a solar logos, and the three planes of conscious and of self-conscious life which form the dense physical vehicle of a heavenly man and of the grand man of the heavens. By a close scrutiny of these conditions in the macrocosm and in the microcosm will come a comprehension of the reason why the physical vehicle is never considered a principle at all by occultists. The Holy Spirit, the one who overshadows and who implants the germ of life in the waiting, acquiescent Virgin Mother, or matter, causing her to awaken and to commence her great work of producing the divine incarnation, is a primary factor from the standpoint of the second solar system. In a way incomprehensible to modern thinkers, the Mother, or the divine aspirant to the mysteries of the cosmic marriage, was, in a previous system, the dominant factor. In this system, in connection with substance, it is the Holy Spirit. The work, therefore, on etheric levels and the energy and activity originating therefrom are the factors that primarily are responsible on the physical plane for all that is tangible, objective, and manifested. Page 917. The accretion of matter around the vital body and the densification of substance around the vital etheric nucleus are in themselves the result of interaction and the final interchange of vibration between that which might be called the residue from an earlier manifestation and the vibration of this present one. It is here in the relation between positive electrical energy in its fourfold differentiation and the triple negative receptive lower substance that scientists will eventually arrive at certain definite deductions and discover A, the secret of matter itself, that is, matter as we know and see it, B, the key to the process of creation upon the physical plane and the method whereby density and concretion on the three lower levels are brought about, C, the formulas for organic transmutation, or the key to the processes whereby the elements as we know them can be disintegrated and recombined. Only when scientists are prepared to admit the fact that there is a body of vitality which acts as a focal point in every organized form, and only when they are willing to consider each element and form of every degree as constituting part of a still greater vital body, will the true methods of the great goddess nature become their methods. To do this, they must be prepared to accept the sevenfold differentiation of the physical plane as stated by Eastern occultism, to recognize the triple nature of the septenary manifestation, A, the atomic or Shiva energy, the energy of the first subplane or the first etheric plane, B, the vital form-building energy of the three ensuing etheric levels, C, the negative receptive energy of the three planes of the dense physical, the gaseous, the liquid, and the truly dense. Page 918. They will also eventually consider the interplay between the lower three and the higher four in that great atom called the physical plane. This can be seen duplicated in the atom of the physicist or chemist. Scientific students who are interested in these matters will find it worthwhile to consider the correspondence between these three types of energy and that which is understood by the words atoms, electrons, and ions. All that manifests from God to man is the result of these three types of energy or force, of their combination, their interplay, and their psychic action and reaction. Footnote: the secret doctrine says that God, monad, and atom are the correspondences of spirit, mind, and body. Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, page 679. The Logos is manifesting in this Maha Manvantara as Manas, the divine Manasaputras in their totality, utilizing atomic sheaths for purposes of evolution, and with the aim in view of developing the second aspect of Buddhi or wisdom. Wisdom must have Manas or intelligent mind for its basis. He is the sum total of intelligence, evolving in order to develop love. Return to text. During the great cycle of logoic appearance, it is the second type of energy which dominates and which is of evolutionary importance, and this is why the etheric body, which lies back of all that is visible, is the most important. This is equally true of gods, of men, and of atoms. Much time is spent in speculating upon the sources of life, upon the springs of action, and upon the impulses which underlie the creative processes. Hitherto, science has worked somewhat blindly and has spent much time investigating the lower three planes. It has dealt principally with the mother, with the negative receptive matter, and is only now becoming aware of the Holy Spirit aspect, or of the energy which enables that mother to fulfill her function and to carry on her work. Considering the same problem microcosmically, it may be pointed out that men are only now beginning to be aware of the springs of spiritual action and of the sources of spiritual life. Page 919. The energy of the higher planes is only revealing itself as men begin to tread the way and to come under the influence of Buddhi, which flows from the fourth cosmic etheric plane. Finally, when scientists are willing to recognize and to cooperate with the intelligent forces that are to be found on etheric levels, and when they become convinced of the hylozoistic nature of all that exists, their findings and their work will be brought into a more accurate correspondence with things as they really are. This, as has been earlier pointed out, will be brought about as the race develops etheric vision, and the truth of the contentions of the occultist is proved past all controversy. It will have been noted that in the enumeration of these two main groups, we did not touch upon that great group of builders who are called, esoterically, those who transmit the word. I have only dealt with the two groups who constitute the army of the voice. This is due to the fact that in this section we are only dealing with that army, or with those builders, great and small, who are swept into activity as the word of the physical plane sounds forth. The transmitters of the word upon the first subplane or atomic level are those who take up the vibratory sound as it reaches them from the astral plane and, passing it through their bodies, send it forth to the remaining subplanes. These transmitters may be, for purposes of clarity, considered as seven in number. In their totality, they form the atomic physical bodies of the Raja Lord of the plane, and in a peculiarly occult sense, these seven form, in their lower differentiations on etheric levels, the sum total of the etheric centers of all human beings, just as on the cosmic etheric levels are found the centers of a heavenly man. The connection between the centers and etheric substance, systemic and human, opens up a vast range for thought. Page 920. The transmitters of the word on the atomic subplane of each plane are devas of vast power and prerogative, who may be stated to be connected with the father aspect and embodiments of electric fire. They are all fully self-conscious, having passed through the human stage in earlier kalpas. They are also corporate parts of the seven primary head centers in the body of a solar logos or planetary logos. Though connected with the father aspect, they are nevertheless part of the body of the sun, and each of them, according to the plane which he energizes, is a component part of one or other of the seven centers, either solar or planetary, planetary when only the particular center is concerned, systemic when that center is viewed as an integral part of the whole. Each of these great lives embodying deva energy of the first degree is an emanation from the central spiritual sun in the first instance and from one of the three major constellations in the second instance. Systemically, they fall into three groups. Group 1 includes those transmitters of the word who are found on the three lower subplanes of the plane Adi, or the logoic plane. Group 2 comprises those great builders who transmit the word on the three next systemic planes, the monadic, the atomic, and the buddhic. Group 3 is formed of those who carry on a similar function in the three worlds of human endeavor. Fundamentally, they are also emanations from one of the seven stars of the Great Bear in the third instance. In these triple emanatory forces may be found the origin of all that is visible and objective, and through their agency, our solar system takes its place within the greater cosmic scheme, and a certain basic cosmic fire is formed. They are the sum total of the head, the heart, and the throat centers of the solar logos, and their correspondences will be found within a heavenly man, a human being, and an atom. Page 921. Hence the scientist, as he discovers the nature of the atom, is putting himself in touch with these three types of solar energy and is unraveling the central mystery of the system. As the triple nature of the atom stands revealed, so likewise the triple nature of man and of God gradually becomes proven. The energy of these groups passes through the physical sun, and from thence they sound the word for the particular plane of their specific endeavor. The student must not make the mistake of thinking that these seven great transmitters are the seven heavenly men. They form one half of their real nature. That is all that can be said of this great mystery, though it might be added that from another angle of vision, they form but one third of his threefold divine nature. Man is dual, being spirit and matter. He is also, during evolution, a triplicity. So it is with a heavenly man, and hence the mystery. The great transmitter of the word on the physical plane, which is the one under our consideration, is the energizing factor of the throat center of Brahma. An interesting tabulation of the threefold centers and the three divine aspects might here be given, which may prove of use to the student, though he should carefully bear in mind that these centers are for the purpose of generating and transmitting energy. 1. The transmitter of energy on the physical plane forms the throat center in the body of Brahma, the third aspect. 2. The transmitter of energy upon the astral plane forms the heart center of Brahma. 3. The transmitter of the word on the mental plane forms the head center of this, the third aspect. These three Raja lords, devas or transmitters, form the three centers of logic force in the three worlds. They are the lowest energy aspect of Brahma. Page 922. 4. The transmitter of the word upon the buddhic plane forms the throat center of Vishnu, the second aspect. From thence the word goes forth that builds the dense physical form of a heavenly man or of a solar logos. 5. The transmitter of energy upon the monadic plane forms the heart center of Vishnu, the second aspect. 6. The transmitter of force upon the atmic plane forms the head center of Vishnu. This tabulation will be confusing to students unless it is realized that we are here considering these aspects only as dualities and are dealing with one of the dual parts. It will be apparent that in the Vishnu aspect, for instance, which manifests upon the second plane, the energy of that plane will act as the head center to the succeeding planes, and this apprehension, rightly grasped, will clarify the others. The transmitter of the word on the first plane of Adi is the embodiment of the throat center of a cosmic entity. From this statement will come a just realization of our place in the cosmic scheme, and the fundamentally physical nature of the seven planes of the solar system is also here demonstrated, the nature of Brahma, or the Holy Spirit, becoming apparent. The old commentary says, quote, Brahma is one, yet includes his brother. Vishnu is one, yet existeth not apart from his brother, younger in point of time, yet older far. Shiva is one, and antedates them both, yet he appeareth not, nor is he seen, until they both have cycled through their courses. Close quote. The above sevenfold tabulation can be, under the law of correspondences, applied equally to every plane, for the transmitters and workers on each plane form similar groups. Equally well can man consider this tabulation in connection with his seven centers, and from a study of the two together, he will gain knowledge as to the type of energy which flows through any particular center. Page 923. These transmitters, likewise, can be heard sounding forth the word with particular force and power in that planetary scheme which corresponds to their note and is keyed to their vibration. The planetary schemes, therefore, will fall into a similar grouping, and this will open up for students a vast field of conjecture. The seven Prajapatis fall into two groups of three, with one dominating. Students will do well to remember in studying the solar system, the planes, the schemes, man, and the atom, that the groupings of the lines or streams of energy during the evolutionary cycles fall naturally into four divisions. 1, 1, 3, 3. 2, 4, 3. 3, 3, 4. 4, 3, 1, 3. Division 1 can be understood under the law of correspondences when the nature of the atomic plane of the solar system, the three cosmic etheric planes, and the three planes of human endeavor are investigated in connection with each other. Division 2 becomes easier of comprehension when the close relation between the four cosmic etheric planes and the three lower planes is grasped. This can be illuminated by a study of the four physical ethers and the three lower subplanes of our physical plane. Division 3 finds the clue to its mystery in the constitution of the mental plane, with its three formless levels and its four levels of form. Division 4 can be grasped as the student arrives at a comprehension of his own nature as a spiritual triad, an egoic body, and a threefold lower man. He can likewise approach the first division in a similar manner and view himself as a primary force or monad, a triple secondary force or ego, and a threefold lower energy or personality, remembering that we are here dealing only with creative energy and with the Brahma aspect of manifestation as it coordinates itself with the Vishnu aspect. Page 924. The transmitters of prana. We have, in an earlier section of this treatise, considered somewhat the devas who are the transmitters of prana for the etheric body of man and of the planet. They are the reflection upon the lowest plane of the Vishnu aspect of divinity. The seven subplanes of our physical plane reflect in a dim and distorted fashion the three aspects and are a shadow, dark and unrevealing, of the Godhead. This group of transmitters are responsible for three principal results and are active along three main lines. They are the devas who vitalize and produce the energy of all forms of sentient life. Theirs is the life which pulsates through the etheric body of every plant and animal and of all intermediate forms of life, and which constitutes the raging fire which is seen circulating through all etheric vehicles. Among many other functions, they produce the warmth of the sun and of all bodies. They are the cause of solar, planetary, and human radiation, and they nourish and preserve all forms. They occultly mediate between the father and the mother on each plane, whether cosmic or systemic. They originate in the sun and are closely related to the logoic and planetary solar plexus, for the evolutionary process, as in all manifestation, is the result of desire acting upon the creative faculties and producing that which is objective. They are the devas who energize the myriads of minute lives which build the etheric bodies of all that is seen and tangible, and who are the instigators of the creative processes on the three lowest subplanes of the physical plane. Systemically, the devas engaged in this line of activity can be subdivided into two groups. A. Those who work on the four higher systemic planes and from thence influence in the three worlds, producing through reflex action the desired results. B. Those who work in the three worlds of human endeavor, producing directly dense physical manifestation. Page 925. All the etheric devas who transmit energy on the physical plane belong to the second division above enumerated, and according to the subplane on which they work, come under the guidance of a greater intelligence on a corresponding plane. There are also the devas who form the attractive force of all subhuman forms, holding the forms of the three lower kingdoms of nature together in coherency, and thus producing the body of manifestation of the great entity who is the sum total of the life of the kingdom, and of the lesser beings who ensoul different families and groups within any specific kingdom. The devas of the etheric double. The subject that we are to deal with now concerns those devas who are etheric doubles of all that is. It is full of profit, therefore, to the wise student, for it reveals the method whereby all forms materialize upon the physical plane. It is not the purpose of this treatise to trace the materialization of a form as it originates upon the archetypal planes through the agency of divine thought, and from thence, through directed streams of intelligent energy, acquires substance as it is reproduced upon each plane, until eventually, upon the physical plane, the form stands revealed at its densest point of manifestation. No form is as yet perfect, and it is this fact which necessitates cyclic evolution and the continual production of forms until they approximate reality in fact and in deed. The method of form production may be tabulated as follows. Page 926. Form production. 1. Divine thought, the cosmic mental plane. 2. Divine desire, the cosmic astral plane. 3. Divine activity, the cosmic physical plane, our 7 systemic planes. The logoic breath, first plane, the sound R. Footnote, mantric sounds. A mantram is a combination of sounds, of words, and of phrases that, through virtue of certain rhythmic effects, achieve results that would not be possible apart from them. The most sacred of all the Eastern mantrams given out as yet to the public is the one embodied in the words Om Mani Padme Hum. Every syllable of this phrase has a secret potency, and its totality has 7 meanings and can bring about 7 different results. There are various mantric forms, based upon this formula and upon the sacred word, which, sounded rhythmically and in different keys, accomplish certain desired ends, such as the invoking of protective angels or devas, and definite work, either constructive or destructive, upon the planes. The potency of a mantram depends upon the point in evolution of the man who employs it. Uttered by an ordinary man, it serves to stimulate the good within his bodies, to protect him, and it will also prove of beneficent influence upon his environment. Uttered by an adept or initiate, its possibilities for good are infinite and far-reaching. Mantrams are of many kinds, and generally speaking, might be enumerated as follows. 1. Some very esoteric mantrams existing in the original Sensa, in the custody of the Great White Lodge. 2. Some Sanskrit mantrams employed by initiates and adepts. 3. Mantrams connected with the different rays. 4. Mantrams used in healing. 5. Mantrams used in the departments of either the Manu, the Bodhisattva, or the Mahachohan. 6. Mantrams used in connection with the devas and the elemental kingdoms. 7. Special mantrams connected with fire. All these mantrams depend for their potency upon the sound and rhythm and upon the syllabic emphasis imparted to them when enunciating and intoning. They depend, too, upon the capacity of the man who uses them to visualize and to will the desired effect. Return to text. This is the first etheric appearance of a solar system upon the atomic subplane of the cosmic physical plane. The seeds of life are all latent. Faculty inheres from an earlier solar essence. The logoic sound, the second plane, the sound Au. This is the body of the solar system in the second ether. This plane is the archetypal plane. The seeds of life are vibrating or germinating. Page 927. The 7 centers of energy are apparent. The one Deva Agni is seen as 7. The form is now potentially perfect. The logoic triple word, the third plane, the sound Aum. The body of the solar system in substance of the third etheric plane is seen, and the 3 function as 1. The triple energy of the locus is coordinated, and nothing now can hinder the work of evolution. The 3 groups of devas are active, and the archetypal form is in process of materialization. The logoic septenary word, the fourth plane, the seven-syllabled word. The logic etheric centers become active. The etheric body of the solar system is now complete, though it will not be perfected till the end of another manvantara. The greater body of vitality is ready to energize the dense physical vehicle. The seven centers with their 49 major petals are vibrant, and consciousness thrills through every atom in the system. An interlude or period of pause is to be found at this stage of development. In it, the processes of coordination and of stabilization are carried on. The energy or the vibration is increased until it becomes possible, by a simultaneous effort emanating from all the three aspects, to bring into objectivity that which is as yet subjective. This is paralleled by man on the physical plane in the applied effort he has to make to bring through and materialize that which he has conceived and desired. The reason so many people fail in materializing their concepts and hence come to be reckoned as failures is owing to the fact of their inability to make a coordinated applied effort and thus set in motion substance of the three lower subplanes of the physical plane. They succeed in bringing their concept through from the mental plane, as does the logos on cosmic levels, as far as the fourth etheric level of the physical, and there their energy becomes exhausted owing to three things: A, lack of sustained will or concentration; B, lack of alignment with the ego; C, a weakness of coordination between the two parts of the physical vehicle. Page 928. The logoic phrase, fifth plane, the plane of the logoic mantram of 35 stanzas. The gaseous body. The gaseous form of the solar system now appears, and the energy centers become veiled and hidden. Accretion and concretion rapidly proceeds. The three groups of builders coordinate their efforts afresh, and a new influx of energy, bearing Devas from the logoic head center, pours in. The lesser builders respond to the logoic mantram chanted anew at each manvantara, and the seven streams of energy from the seven logoic centers are directed downwards. The logoic song of love or desire. The sixth plane, a poem in 42 verses. The logoic liquid body. This song or vibration causes the bringing in of a body of devas from the logoic heart center to swell the efforts of those already active. The liquid body of the solar logos appears, and the form exists in its six differentiations. Concretion is very rapid, and activity is considerably more violent owing to the greater density of the accruing substance. The logoic book of life, seventh plane, exists in 49 chapters. The entire form stands revealed. During evolution, it must manifest its purpose and its nature. A third group of devas from the logoic throat center appear and cooperate with their brothers. Page 929. All the fires are burning, all the centers are active, and every petal, 49 in number, on the fourth plane of Buddhi is producing a reflex activity upon the dense physical plane. Men, when occupied in creation of any kind and in the process of producing forms on earth which embody an idea, work along similar lines. The analogy is perfect. In connection with those human beings who create nothing but who are only swept into activity under the urge of circumstance, and they are the bulk of the human race, it should be pointed out that they are a part of the creative activity of some greater and more advanced entity. As self-conscious evolution proceeds, more and more of the human family will become creators and intelligent workers in connection with Deva substance. In the initial stages, therefore, of their dissociation from a passive attitude, there will be found a revolt against law and order, a refusal to be governed, and an ability evidenced to follow out an individual concept at the expense of the group, great or small. This apparent defect, evolution itself and experience will remedy, and as the consciousness becomes alive to higher vibrations, the man will become aware of the purpose and plan of the intelligence of his group. He will awaken to the beauty of that plan and will begin to submerge his own interests in the greater and to cooperate intelligently. The creative power, which had before been of a separative nature, will be offered as a willing sacrifice to the greater energy, and his small plans and ideas will be merged in the greater ones. He will no longer, however, be a passive unit swept hither and thither by the energy of his group, but will become a positive, active, potent force, self-immolated through intelligent recognition of the greater plan. He will become alive to the fact that there are living forces in nature. Page 930. As the greater energy thrills through him, his own latent powers are awakened. He sees and knows the Deva forces and can consequently work with them intelligently. Some he will control and manipulate, with others he will cooperate, and others still he will obey. It is in the realization of these facts, anent Deva substance, the power of sound, the law of vibration, and the ability to produce forms in conformity with law, that the true magician can be seen. Herein, too, lies one of the distinctions to be found between magicians of the good law and those of the left-hand path. A white magician can control and manipulate Deva substance, and he proceeds to do it through an intelligent cooperation with the greater builders. Owing to the purity and holiness of his life and the height of his own vibration, he can contact them in some one or other of their grades. The magician of the shadows controls and manipulates Deva substance on the astral and physical plane and on the lower levels of the mental plane, through the force of his own vibration and knowledge, but not through cooperation with the directing builders. He cannot contact them, as his character is impure through selfishness, and his vibration is too low. His power, therefore, is limited and destructive, yet immense with certain restrictions. The Devas of the etheric doubles fall into two groups. They are those who are the lesser builders, and who, under direction from the greater builders, form the etheric doubles of all that can be seen and all that is tangible on the dense physical plane. They exist in vast hosts and are omnipresent. They gather and build the material needed to form the etheric double of everything, and they do this under certain laws and work under certain restrictions. They are called, in occult phraseology, the listening devas, for they are the ones who pick up that particular note and tone from the transmitters of the physical plane sound, which is needed to gather the substance for any intended material form. Page 931. Again, they are spoken of as having ears, but seeing not. They work in close cooperation with the elementals of the dense physical body. This second group are spoken of as the seeing elementals, for they exist in matter of the three lower subplanes and can therefore see on the objective plane in the occult sense, which always implies an analogy between sight and knowledge. The listening builders gather the material. The seeing elementals take that gathered material and build it into any specific form. They exist in many groups according to their point in evolution, and some of them might be tabulated as follows. 1. The builders of the human vehicle. This is the highest group of lesser builders who are highly specialized. These will be dealt with somewhat in detail later. 2. The builders of the forms in the three kingdoms of nature in their two divisions. First, the builders of the mineral kingdom. These are the workers occultly called the elemental alchemists. They are, in many groups, connected with the differing elements, metals, chemicals, and minerals, and with what are called active and radioactive substances. They are the custodians of two secrets, that of the immetallization of the monad and the secret of the transmutation of metals. Second, the builders of the vegetable kingdom. They exist in many groups and are termed the surface alchemists and the bridging units. They build the doubles of every form of vegetable life, and just as the alchemists of the mineral kingdom are mostly concerned with the action of fire, these other alchemical workers are concerned with the liquid action of divine manifestation. Page 932. They work, therefore, in cooperation with the Devas of the waters, or liquid substance, whilst the earlier mentioned group work with the gaseous Devas. A hint is here conveyed, but greater expansion of the statement is not possible owing to the danger of the knowledge to be reached. With them is hidden three secrets. One is concerned with the earlier solar system, or the green solar system. Another deals with the laws of bridging, or the interaction between the kingdoms of nature. And the third is connected with the history of the second round. This secret, when revealed, will make clear why man, under the law, should be a vegetarian and not carnivorous. Scientists are learning already certain things connected with the second secret, and they may hope, as the knowledge of the significance of color is extended, to glean hints as to the first. The third secret will not be indicated more clearly till the sixth race is living upon earth. Third, the builders of all animal etheric forms. These are a group closely allied with those who build the human form. They came in force from a reservoir of energy which was kept in a quiescent condition until the physical condition of any particular scheme warranted their activity. With them came in much that accounts for the present sad condition, for much of the fear, hatred, and destructive condition to be found among the animals is caused by their bodies being built and the work of evolution carried on by the imperfect gods, as HPB expresses it, working in imperfect matter as yet imperfectly manipulated. The secret of fear is hidden in the etheric body and the particular type of substance out of which it may be built. 3. The builders of the planetary etheric web. Their work is exceedingly obscure and exists in three divisions. Page 933. A. The materialization of the web. This is only perfected by the fourth round and was purposely hurried in connection with our planet owing to karmic conditions and under the law of spiritual necessity. A correspondence to this can be seen in the case of man himself. The etheric web was very loosely coordinated in man at the beginning of the fourth root race. Spiritual necessity forced its rapid consolidation, and it is now so constituted that it forms a barrier between the physical and the astral plane. B. The preservation of the planetary web. This will be continued until the sixth round. During this period, spiritual evolution proceeds with a certain degree of planetary safety, for the web protects from certain solar influences and acts largely as a sifter and a distributor of solar forces. C. The destruction of the web. This takes place towards the end of planetary evolution, thus permitting the escape of the imprisoned planetary life and the absorption of the life essence into its synthesizer. The process of destruction can only be described in the words perforation and disintegration. 4. The builders of the etheric body of the planetary entity. This great involutionary life must remain for many eons a mystery. His etheric body is now in process of building, and only in another solar system will he assume definite physical form. Sufficient energy has not yet been generated to permit of his manifestation objectively. He remains as yet subjective. He has his solar correspondence. Page 934. 5. The builders of the planetary body. This proceeds under the same law as that of the solar system and of man, but, as in the solar system, it proceeds upon the higher planes. Students are here recommended to trace the relation between the solar and cosmic planes in this specific connection. 6. The etheric doubles of all that man creates. These are a special group of etheric builders who, under karma, are forced to act in conjunction with human beings. End of side 1. Cassette number 22, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 934. Continued on side 2. Side 2, cassette number 22, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 934. These are but a few out of the many groups possible to touch upon. It is needless further to enlarge, as no substantial profit will eventuate from the impartation of further information. Only the briefest indications can be given and touched upon. It is neither safe nor advisable as yet to impart to men knowledge anent the workers in etheric matter which would enable them to contact them, nor is it wise as yet to link up coherently the scattered facts already given in different occult books. Science is treading on the borderland of discovery and trespassing already into the domain of the building devas. Caution is needed, yet if the hints given above are studied, if the various secrets of the builders are pondered upon, and if the esoteric side of masonry is carefully and persistently meditated upon, the work of the great architect and his many assistants will stand forth in a clearer and fuller light. One hint may here be given, forgetting not that the work is twofold. The construction of the tabernacle, or the building of the temporary forms, is the work of the divine carpenter, whilst the building of the Temple of Solomon, or the construction of the more permanent structure, is the work of the supervising architect. One concerns operative and the other speculative masonry in the true esoteric significance of the word. Page 935. The devas who form the etheric doubles of all objects out of their own substance must also be considered. These builders are the sum total of all physical plane substance and constitute the matter of the etheric levels of the physical plane. They exist, therefore, in four groups, and each group has a curious karmic relation to one of the four kingdoms in nature. Group 1st, Plane 1, Kingdom Human. Group 2nd, Plane 2, Kingdom Animal. Group 3rd, Plane 3, Kingdom Vegetable. Group 4th, Plane 4, Kingdom Mineral. The substance of the highest physical form of a human being is therefore atomic. The master's physical body is made of atomic matter, and when he wishes to materialize it on the dense physical plane, he forms a sheath of gaseous substance upon that atomic matter, perfect in its delineation of all the known physical traits. The substance of the highest form of animal body is that of the second ether, and herein is to be found a clue as to the relation between all sea and watery forms to the animal. The highest form of body possible for the vegetable form of life is that of the third ether. These facts will be demonstrated in the seventh round, when the present three kingdoms of nature, the human, the animal, and the vegetable, will objectively exist in etheric matter. That will be for them their densest manifestation. The mineral kingdom will find its highest manifestation in matter of the fourth ether, and this transmutation is already taking place, for all the radioactive substances now being discovered are literally becoming matter of the fourth ether. The mineral kingdom is relatively nearing its possible manvantaric perfection, and by the time the seventh round is reached, all mineral lives, not forms, will have been transferred to another planet. This will not be so with the other three kingdoms. Page 936. The etheric deva substance is acted upon in two ways. It is awakened into a specific activity by the sounding of the physical plane word, and it is built into forms by the lesser builders. It will therefore be apparent that it comes under the influence of two types of force or energy. We will now briefly take up the subject of the work of the devas who build man's etheric and dense physical body. By dividing our thoughts into two sections, we may be able to cover the ground somewhat more easily, dealing first with the building devas and the microcosm, and then with the lesser builders of the etheric levels. D. The elementals and the microcosm. Man and the building devas. Man, in the process of evolution, as he pursues the method of reincarnation, works with four types of builders and three major grades of building essence or deva substance. He connects with the transmitting devas who are found in connection with the microcosm on the fourth subplane of the mental plane and on the atomic subplanes of the astral and physical plane. He connects next with the devas concerned with 1. The mental unit, 2. The astral permanent atom, 3, the physical permanent atom. He cooperates with the work of the building devas who form the etheric body and influences the building devas of the dense physical substances so that the necessary physical vehicle for his objective manifestation becomes an actuality. These are the four main groups of devas which come under the influence of any particular ego. They unitedly produce the lower man and bring into manifestation the personality, that reflection of the ego and shadow of the monad. Page 937. The three grades of building essence, which are built into forms through the activity of the above four groups, are here briefly recognized as the mental substance built into the mental body, the astral substance built into the astral vehicle, and the matter of the physical body. These seven groups form, in their totality, what we might call the Brahma aspect of the microcosm. From another point of view, we may be considered as studying the action of the solar angel, or lord, upon the lunar angels, and the process whereby the solar lord imposes a certain rhythm and vibration upon different aspects of lower manifestation. Esoterically, this is all hidden in the words of a very ancient writing, which says, quote, "As the moon revolves, she reflects. As she reflects, she causes response in that which failed to radiate. These three, the sun, the moon, and the mother, produce that which pursues a tiny cycle and burns." Close quote. The first step of the ego towards producing a shadow is expressed in the words, "The ego sounds his note." He utters his voice and, as in the logic process, the lesser army of the voice responds immediately to it. According to the tone and quality of the voice, so is the nature of the responsive agents. According to the depth or height of the note, and according to its volume, so is the status or grade of building deva which replies to the call. This egoic note produces, therefore, certain effects. It sweeps into activity devas who proceed to transmit the sound. They utter a word. It reaches the listening devas of the second grade who take up the word and proceed to elaborate it into what might be called a mantric phrase. The building process definitely begins in a sequential threefold manner. Page 938. The mental body begins to coordinate in three stages. All the building stages overlap. When, for instance, the coordination of the mental body is in its second stage, the first stage of astral concretion begins. This is carried on for seven stages, three major and four minor, which overlap in an intricate fashion. Again, when the second stage is reached, a vibration is produced which awakens response in etheric matter on the physical plane, and the builders of the etheric double commence their activity. Again, the process is repeated. When the second stage of the work of these etheric devas is begun, conception takes place upon the physical plane. This is a very important point to be remembered, for it brings the entire process of human birth definitely into line with established karmic law. It shows the close connection between that which is subjective and that which is tangible and seen. The building of the physical body proceeds like that of the three stages during the prenatal period. A. The work of the building devas during the 3.5 months prior to the realization of life. This period sees the third stage of the building of the etheric body entered upon. B. The building work of the next 3.5 months of the gestation period. C. The final process of concretion carried on through the remaining 2 months. Students will here find it interesting to trace out the correspondence in this method of producing evolutionary manifestation in a planetary scheme with its rounds and races, and in a solar system with its manvantaras and greater cycles. In summing up this very cursory outline, the work of the etheric devas does not cease at the birth of the man, but is continued likewise in three stages, which find a close analogy in the life period of a solar system. Page 939. First, their work is directed to the steady increase of the human physical vehicle so that it may follow accurately the lines of growth of the two subtler bodies. This is carried on till maturity is reached. The next stage is that in which their work consists largely of repair work and the preservation of the body during the years of full manhood, so that it can measure up to the purpose of the subjective life. This purpose necessarily varies according to the stage of development of the man. Finally comes the stage when the work of building ceases. The vitality in the etheric body waxes dim, and the processes of destruction begin. The ego begins to call in his forces. The sound becomes faint and dim. There is less and less volume for the transmitters to pass on, and the initial vibration gets fainter and fainter. The period of obscuration comes in. First, the physical body waxes weak and useless. Then the ego withdraws from the centers and functions for a few hours in the etheric double. This in turn is devitalized, and so the process is carried on till one by one the sheaths are discarded and the egoic shadow is dissipated. The work of the building devas. Let us now consider the work of the building devas on the three planes, dealing with them in two groups. A. Those who are connected with the permanent atoms. B. Those who are responsible for the building process. The devas of the permanent atoms. This particular group of devas are the aggregate of the lives who form the mental unit and the two permanent atoms. They, as we know, have their place within the causal periphery and are focal points of egoic energy. They are the very highest type of building devas and form a group of lives which are closely allied to the solar angels. They exist in seven groups connected with three of the spirillae of the logoic physical permanent atom. Page 940. These three spirillae are to these seven groups of lives what the three major rays are to the seven groups of rays on the egoic subplanes of the mental plane. This phrase will bear meditating upon and may convey much information to the intuitional thinker. There is a correspondence between the three permanent atomic triads and the appearance of man in the third root race. A curiously interesting sequence of the three lines of force can be seen in A. the triads of the involutionary group soul, B. the appearance of triple-natured man in the third root race, C. the triads in the causal bodies of any self-conscious unit. These building devas are the ones who take up the sound as the ego sends it forth through certain of the transmitting deva agencies, and by the vibration which this sets up, they drive into activity the surrounding deva essence in their two groups, A. those who build the form, B. those who are built into the form. They only affect those of analogous vibration. The stages of the building of any of the four forms through which lower man, the quaternary, functions, follow exactly analogous stages to the building of the dense physical body, for instance, of a planet or of a solar system. This can be traced all the way from the nebulous and chaotic stages through the fiery to the solid or to the relatively solid where a subtle body is concerned. There is no need for us further to enlarge. HPB has outlined these stages in the Secret Doctrine, and they have been dealt with in an earlier part of this treatise. We have dealt at some length already with the work of the transmitting devas upon the three planes and the three worlds, and with that of the devas connected with those relatively permanent focal points, the permanent atoms within the causal periphery. Page 941. We can now consider the group of builders who, responding to the note of the transmitting agencies and to the initial vibration of the second group of builders concerned with the triple lower self, begin the work of aggregating and molding the living substance necessary for egoic manifestation upon the lower planes. We have seen that the first three stages of the egoic work are 1. The sounding of the appropriate note, which note is indicative of man's place in evolution and of the nature of his psyche or ego. 2. The transmission of this note by the solar angel and the three groups of devas connected with the three permanent atoms. 3. The vibration set up within these atoms, which is in line with the note sounded, and which becomes so strong as to make itself felt in the surrounding deva substance, thus awakening response. These may be considered as the 3 primary stages, and we find demonstrated, in connection with the microcosm, the 3 factors of sound, color, and vibration, which, under the law of analogy, reflect the 3 aspects of the macrocosm. Here, too, is found a resemblance to the work of the first 3 sephiroths of the Kabbalah, the primary stage of manifestation finding its dim reflection in the work of the ego in the 3 worlds. The second stage now takes place, in which the work of building proceeds until the microcosm man makes his appearance upon the physical plane. This is succeeded by a 3rd stage of evolution, in which the psychic nature of man is to demonstrate through the medium of the created forms. Page 942. Then the next 2 groups of Sephiroth are seen reproduced in man. He is demonstrated to be 9 from another angle, but we are only concerned in this section with the builders of the form. These groups of builders are 4 in number. 1. The builders of the mental body. 2. The builders of the astral body. 3. The builders of the etheric body. 4. The builders of the dense physical. Each of these groups can be subdivided into 4 or 7 or 3, according to the plane concerned. Students must remember that matter from the 2 lowest subplanes of the physical and of the astral planes are never built into the human body as now constituted. It is of too low a vibration and too coarse a grade for even the lowest type of man on earth at this time. It must be pointed out also that in the average man, the matter of some subplane will preponderate according to the depth of his nature and his place on the ladder of evolution. The builders of the human body work under the direction of one of the lords of karma from the lowest group. These lords are to be found in 3 groups, and a lord out of the 3rd group has the work of superintending the builders of the human being on the 3 planes. Under him are to be found certain karmic agents, who, again, are divided into the following groups. 1. 3 karmic agents responsible to the karmic lords for the work on the 3 planes. 2. 5 karmic lords who work in close connection with the Manus of the various races and who are responsible for the correct building of the varying race types. 3. Karmic agents responsible for the sub-race types of the present time. Page 943. 4. Certain intermediary agents who represent, within these 3 groups, the 7 ray types. 5. Those agents of the good law who are connected specifically with the work of the etheric centers and their response to the different planetary centers. 6. The keepers of the records. These various intelligences manipulate the building forces through the medium of streams of energy, which streams are set in motion when the ego sounds his note. It must be remembered that in more or less degree upon his own plane, the ego is aware of his karma and of what must be done to promote growth during the coming incarnation. He works, therefore, in connection with these lords, but is only directly in touch with an agent of the 6th group and of the 4th. Through these 2, the work proceeds as far as the ego is individually concerned, and they set in motion for him, after he has sounded his note, the machinery of the law. The builders of the human personality, again, are divided into 7 main groups. All devas, just as is the case with the human monads, come under one or other of the 7 rays and are responsive to one or other of the 7 logoic streams of fiery energy. According to a man's egoic ray, so will be the type of deva substance influenced. These builders work with certain elementals, but it is only upon the physical plane that any idea can be given as to their nature and work. These elementals are the little entities who, adhering to the plan as embodied by the builders, blindly construct the fabric of the body and form the sheaths through which the ego is to express himself. On the etheric planes, they build the real form out of etheric substance and produce the sheath of intricate lines of interlacing fiery strands, which is in reality an extension of the sutratma, or life thread. Page 944. As it is woven and interlaced, it becomes vitalized with the life energy sent down from the ego, just as Shiva, the father, gives to the son the real bios, or life, while the mother warms, builds, and nourishes the body. The work of the etheric elementals reaches its primary consummation when the sutratma is connected with the three centers of the physical nature within the cranium, the pineal gland, the pituitary body, and the ulna major center. Occultly, the most important connection is the entrance of the sutratma into the center at the top of the head, that through which the life of the etheric body withdraws at the moment of death. This is the vital point. The thread of life there, by the time the seventh year is reached, has divided itself into three branches, reaching out to the three centers. The realization of this fact will eventually prove of much interest to scientists. A good deal of imbecility, or of arrested development, will be found to have its origin in the etheric connection with these three centers. The etheric web is literally the fine network of fiery threads which spreads itself over the center and forms an area of fairly large dimensions. It separates the two bodies, astral and physical. A similar corresponding area will be found in the solar system. Through it, the cosmic forces must pass to the different planetary schemes. The elemental groups of the dense physical plane who are swept into activity by the builders are three in number: A, the gaseous elementals; B, the liquid elementals; C, the strictly dense elementals. One group concerns itself with the fiery channels, with the fires of the human body, and with the different gases to be found within the human periphery. Another group is to be seen working in connection with the circulatory system and with all the liquids, juices, and waters of the body, whilst the third is largely involved in the construction of the frame through the right apportioning of the minerals and chemicals. Page 945. A hint in connection with medicine is here to be found. It is occultly true that just as the liquid devas and elementals are closely related to the vegetable kingdom, and both to the plane of the emotions, the logoic liquid body, so the ills of men which affect the circulatory system, the kidneys, the bladder, and the lubrication of the joints, will find a cure in vegetable constituents, and above all, in the right adjustment of the emotional nature. Several influences other than those mentioned have to be considered when the subject of the work of these builders of man's body is under discussion. Not only are they affected by a man's note, b the color poured forth by the transmitting agents, c the karmic agents, but they come under d group karma and vibration, which will sweep in another group of agencies and builders and thus affect the man's bodies, e racial karma, an extension of the above, F, forces playing upon the planet from another scheme, or through the formation of a systemic triangle, G, a cosmic triangle of force of some specific kind, which may bring entities and energies of any particular scheme incident upon the karma of the planetary locus. It will therefore be apparent to the student how intricate this subject is, and how truly each man is the outcome of force of some kind, egoic primarily, but also planetary and even systemic. Page 946. Yet, withal, no man is ever put into circumstances which are insurmountable once he has reached the point where he has intelligently put himself on the side of evolution or of God. Prior to that, he may, and will, be driven by the gales of circumstance. The press of group and racial karma will force him into situations necessary for the process of awakening him to his own innate possibilities. Once he becomes the conscious builder himself, seeking to control the forces and builders of his lower nature, and to construct the Temple of Solomon, then he is no longer subject to the earlier conditions. He becomes a ruler, a builder, and a transmitter, until the time comes when he is one with the solar angels and the work of human evolution is accomplished. What has been said above is very superficial, and only that has been imparted which has a profound significance for man at this time. Much must be inferred, and more must be arrived at under the law of correspondences. It must ever be borne in mind, likewise, that our basic conception is one of fiery energy, of four centers set in motion and kept in active vibration by the pulsation of still greater centers. Every form is built of fiery atoms or energetic lives through the agency of greater lives, and is held in coherent form within the still greater sheaths, that greater sheath being to the lesser what the macrocosm is to the microcosm. All these groups of building lives may be divided into three groups of energy units, and their nature deduced from the phrases 1. Groups of lives animated by dynamic energy, 2. Groups of lives animated by radiant energy, 3. Groups of lives animated by atomic energy. These again are the sum total of the three fires, electric fire, solar fire, and fire by friction. In terms of the cosmic physical plane, the correspondence to the systemic plane can be seen in the following tabulation, page 947. 1. Dynamic energy, electric fire, atomic subplane, first etheric substance, plane Adi. 2. Radiant energy, solar fire, three cosmic etheric levels, logoic etheric body. 3. Atomic energy, fire by friction, three planes of the three worlds, logoic dense vehicle. Each plane will be found to reflect this order in an interesting manner. Roman numeral 3. Man as a creator in mental matter. 1. The creation of thought forms. The subject we are now to deal with cannot be handled too explicitly on account of the attendant dangers. In the creative processes, man is dealing with electrical phenomena of some kind, with that which is vitally affected by each thought emanating from him, and with those lesser lives who, aggregated together, form, from certain angles of vision, a source of very real danger to man. We might embody that which can be said in certain statements. A. Much that is to be seen now of a distressing nature in the world can be directly traced to the wrong manipulation of mental matter by man, to erroneous conceptions as to the nature of matter itself, and to dangerous conditions brought about by the united creative attempts of human beings down the centuries. Misunderstandings have arisen as to the purpose of the vital fluids of the universe, and this has added to the distress, as have certain distortions of the astral light, producing a subsidiary or secondary glamour, or reflected light, which intensifies the Maya already created. Page 948. This secondary reflection has been produced by man himself in the evolutionary attempt to balance the pairs of opposites, and has produced a condition which must be surmounted before the true occult balancing begins. It might be regarded as the sum total of that great manifestation, created only by man, called the Dweller on the Threshold. One of the greatest impediments upon the path of return, and one for which man is distinctly responsible within occult limits, are those animated forms which he has produced ever since the middle of the Atlantean root race, when the mind factor began slowly to assume increasing importance. The selfishness, the sordid motives, the prompt response to evil impulses for which the human race has been distinguished, has brought about a condition of affairs unparalleled in the system. A gigantic thought form hovers over the entire human family, built by men everywhere during the ages, energized by the insane desires and evil inclinations of all that is worst in man's nature, and kept alive by the promptings of his lower desires. This thought form has to be broken up and dissipated by man himself during the latter part of this round, before the conclusion of the cycle, and its dissipation will be one of the forces tending to the production of interplanetary pralaya. It is this piece of creative bungling, if so it might be called, which the great ones are occupied in destroying. Under the law of karma, it has to be dissipated by those who have created it. The work of the masters has to be carried on, therefore, indirectly, and must take the form of illuminating the sons of men in gradually increasing degree, so that they can see clearly this dweller on the threshold of the new life, and the antagonist who stands between the fourth kingdom of nature and the fifth. Every time a son of man stands upon the probationary path, their work is facilitated, for it means that one small stream of life energy is directed into new channels and away from the old stream, which tends to vitalize and feed the evil form, and one more conscious assailant can be trained to cooperate in the work of destruction. Every time an initiate is admitted to the lodge degrees, it means that a new and powerful agent is available for the bringing down of force from higher levels to aid in the work of disintegration. In the comprehension of these two methods of aggressive work, that of the aspirant and the initiate, will come much of vital interest to the careful student of analogy. Here lies the clue to the present problem of evil and to the vitality of the hold which the matter aspect has on the spiritual. This gigantic thought form, the product of man's ignorance and selfishness, is kept alive and vitalized in three ways. First, by the aggregate of the evil desires, wicked intentions, and selfish purposes of each individual man. Every wrong thought, when embodied in speech or manifested in action on the physical plane, goes to swell the proportions of this evil entity. Second, by the fostering care of the brothers of the shadow and those representatives of what may be called cosmic evil, who, under the karma of the fourth or human family in this fourth round, assume stupendous responsibilities, make possible the secondary vitalization of the thought form, and produce conditions of such a dire description that under law, rapid crystallization supervenes and ultimate destruction becomes possible. Students would do well to broaden their concept as to the purpose of evil and the place the evil forces play in the general scheme. Third, by the energy still extant and the vibration still to be felt, which is the persistence of force from an earlier solar system and an emanation from that which is no longer considered in this solar system to be a principle. Page 950. These three factors are the main ones to be considered by the great ones in their work of enabling men to break loose from the influence of this self-imposed form, to destroy that which they have themselves constructed, and to shake themselves free from the illusion cast by the persistent vampire which they have nourished and strengthened for millennia of years. This work of destruction the great ones are bringing about in four main ways. 1. By the strength of their united thoughts and meditations. 2. By the work of the hierarchy in training and teaching individuals who thus break away from the blind group activity and become conscious centers of force and cooperators in the work of destruction. This work has to be carried on from mental levels, hence the training of disciples to meditate and work in mental matter. 3. By the use of certain mantrams and words which bring in interplanetary force of the fourth order. This force is then directed towards this distorted creation of the fourth creative hierarchy, the fourth or human kingdom, and tends to augment the work of destruction. Much of this work is carried on by the Nirmanakayas. 4. By stimulating the egoic bodies of men so that the solar angels may carry on with greater precision and force their conflict with the lunar gods. This is the true war in heaven. As the solar gods descend ever nearer to the physical plane, and in their descent assume a steadily increasing control of the lunar natures, the thoughts and desires of men are consequently purified and refined. Footnote: the solar gods are the fallen angels. A. They warm the shadows, the human bodies. B. They, in their turn, are warmed by the monad or atma. C. They are the serpents of wisdom. D. Their nature is knowledge and love. E. They come in from the cosmic mental plane. The ego or solar angel is imprisoned. A. It has to liberate itself from the thraldom of sensuous perception. B. It has to see in the light of the one reality. C. See Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, page 578. D. To redeem humanity. E. To endow him with human affections and aspirations. F. They give to man intelligence and consciousness. From the Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Return to text. The solar fires put out the lunar light, and the lower nature is eventually purified and transmuted. In time, the solar angels blaze forth in all their glory through the medium of the lower nature on the physical plane, that lower nature providing fuel to the flames. The hated dweller on the threshold thus gradually dies for lack of sustenance and disintegrates for lack of vitality, and man is set free. Page 951. B. At present, much of the manipulation of mental matter and its direction into forms of some kind or another emanates from lower levels and is the result of powerful desire based on physical attraction. The desire bodies, and not the mental bodies of the majority of men, are the most powerful and set up such a strong vibration due to the force of two groups of lunar lords that the third group of lunar entities who construct the mental body are swept into a willing response, and the whole threefold lower nature is immediately engaged in the dire process of feeding the dreaded dweller. This direction of energy follows the line of least resistance. One of the primary works of the ego, as we well know, is to impose a new rhythm upon his shadow and reflection, the lower man, and it is this imposition which in time deflects energy away from man's distorted creation and brings his vibration into tune with that of his solar angel. The devas, who are the sum total of the energy of substance itself, care not what form they build. They are irresponsibly responsive to energy currents, and theirs is not the problem of dealing with sources of energy. Page 952. Therefore, the place of man in the cosmic plan becomes more vital and apparent when it is realized that one of his main responsibilities is the direction of energy currents from the mental plane and the creation of that which is desired on higher levels. Men as a whole are undergoing evolutionary development in order that they may become conscious creators in matter. This involves a realization of the archetypal plan, an understanding of the laws governing the building processes of nature, a conscious process of willing creation so that man cooperates with the ideal, works under law, and produces that which is in line with the planetary plan and which tends to further the best interests of the race, a comprehension as to the nature of energy and an ability to direct energy currents to disintegrate or withdraw energy from all forms in the three worlds, an appreciation of the nature of the devas, their constitution and place as builders, and of the words and sounds whereby they are directed and controlled. When the energy currents of the human family are directed from egoic levels only, when desire is transmuted and the fifth principle awakened and finally illuminated by the sixth, then and only then will the strength of the impulse emanating from lower levels die out, and the dweller on the threshold, who now haunts the human family, likewise die. In other words, when the dense physical body of the planetary logos, composed of matter of the three worlds of human endeavor, is completely purified and vitalized by the force of the life flowing from etheric levels, and when all his centers, formed of human units, are fully awakened, then will those centers be channels for pure force, and such an entity as the dweller be an impossibility. Page 953. All that I have here said anent this dweller on the threshold of the path between the two great kingdoms, the fourth and the fifth, can be studied by the student with a personal application. Facing each earnest aspirant to the mysteries is that vitalized form which he has himself constructed and nourished during the course of his previous incarnations, and which represents the sum total of his evil desires, motives, and thoughts. For ages it has vampirized him, and for ages it has represented that which he has failed to achieve. It affects not only himself, but also all those units whom he contacts and meets. In its destruction, he has to pursue methods similar to those followed by the Great Ones, and through the increasing power of his solar angel, through the force of his ego, and through a study of law, the knowledge of the power of sound, and the control of speech, he will eventually bring about its disintegration. The old commentary says, quote, "The solar angel must put out the light of the lunar angels, and then for lack of warmth and light, that which has served to hinder no longer is." Close quote. C. As yet, but few of the human family work deliberately and consciously in mental matter only. The energy exerted by men is mostly karma manasic, or desire coupled with lower mind, with a preponderance, as might be expected, of desire force. This is to be inferred from the second statement. The whole trend of evolution is to bring about ability to build in mental matter, and two things lie ahead of the race. First, the gradual dissipation of the indefinite masses of kama manasic matter which surround practically every unit of the human family, producing a condition of murkiness and fog within and around each aura. Gradually, this will clear away, and men will be seen surrounded by clear-cut thought forms characterized by a distinctive vibration and distinguished by a particular quality incident to a man's ray and therefore to his type of mind. Page 954. Second, the aggregate of human thought forms which now are of a personal character, vibrating around each human being as the planets vibrate around the sun, will tend to approximate a group center. Thought energy, which now emanates from each human being as a comparatively weak stream of an indefinite conglomeration of mental matter, of no particular character, forming no particularly distinct forms, and persisting in animating those forms for but a brief period, will be directed towards the creation of that desired by the group, and not solely towards that desired by the unit. This is the basis, very largely, for the antagonism that all constructive thinkers and group workers encounter. The stream of energy which they emanate and which constructs vital thought forms runs counter to that of the masses of men, awakens opposition, and produces temporary chaos. The prominent workers and thinkers of the human family, under the direction of the Lodge, are engaged in three things. A. The imposition of the newer and higher rhythm upon men. B. The dissipation of the murky clouds of half-vitalized indefinite thought forms which surround our planet, thus permitting the entry of interplanetary force and of force from the higher mental levels. C. The awakening within men of the power to think clearly, to energize their thought forms accurately, and to hold in vital form those thought constructions whereby they may attain their objective and bring about desired conditions upon the physical plane. Page 955. These three objectives necessitate a clear comprehension among such vital thinkers and workers of the power of thought, of the direction of thought currents, of the science of thought building, of the manipulation under law and order of mental matter, and of the process of thought manifestation through the two factors of sound and vitalization. It involves likewise the ability to negate or render futile all impulses arising from the lower self which are of a centralized and purely personal aspect, and the faculty of working in group form, each thought being sent upon the definite mission of adding its quota of energy and matter to some one stream which is specific and known. This last is of importance, for no worker for humanity becomes of real assistance until he, consciously and with full knowledge of his work, definitely directs his thought energy towards some particular channel of service to the race. End of side 2, cassette number 22, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 955. Continued on cassette number 23.